This is Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudet. Opera Idaho's next production is a first in the company's almost 50-year history. The next production brings mythology to life, and it is the first Handel opera to ever be performed at Opera Idaho. Joining us live in studio are guest artist, tenor Karim Suleiman, and conductor Robert Franz. Welcome to the program, both of you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thanks for having us.
All right. I didn't say the name of the production because I am sure I'm going to get it wrong. So, Karim, I'm going to leave it up to you as to how to say it.
It is Acis and Galatea by George Frederick Handel.
So what makes this production, you know, so special?
The production or the opera?
The opera itself. We just started rehearsing,
so I don't know how special the
production is. Will you tell me about the opera?
It's definitely going to be
very, Robert, very.
But the opera is special because it's what's considered a pastoral opera, which is sort of this idea that the court brought in this representation of what the common folk were and like the, but it still addresses these beautiful, lofty ideas of love with some comedy from other characters. And then most prominent is this incredible music that we get to hear that is really, truly, truly beautiful music.
And this is your first time performing with Opera Idaho,
yes,
but not your first time performing in Boise, we should say.
That it is not the first time I'm performing in Boise. I did perform here before, yes.
And with the Boise Phil.
Yes.
And Robert, that's where you were.
That's right, exactly. So I had met Karim well over a decade at this point ago, and we had done a production of Candide together, a suite from Leonard Bernstein's operetta Candide, and Karim was the title role of Candide. And then about 5 or 6 years ago, we started doing Messiahs together. And Karim is, in addition to just being an incredible musician, he is an amazing performer in this particular style, specifically in Handel, but in Baroque and early music in general. And so first of all, I can't actually hear Messiah anymore without hearing Karim's voice in my head when I hear it.
For better, for worse.
No, for better, for sure. And then secondly, when Mark Junkert at the at Opera Idaho and I started talking about this project, I said, gosh, it would be great to do a Handel opera, and it'd be great to do it with Karim. And so we called up Karim and found out kind of what roles he would be willing to do, interested in doing, could do. He offered us a number of different ones, and we chose this one for a couple of reasons. One, it is a pastoral opera, so it has this real sense of bucolic nature. It has the themes of love and jealousy and vengeance and, you know, all
everything you need for a good story.
A good opera, right, exactly, including turning the poor dead Acis into a fountain at the end so that he lives forever, because it turns out that his girlfriend was a half a goddess, didn't even realize, like, we didn't know until the
end.
You
know, people said that about me.
Right, Gemma? That's what I was going to say. Like, Gemma, the half-goddess. The demi-hemi-demi-semi.
They were actually thinking about casting you.
Yes, well, I can't sing, though. You don't want to do that.
But the thing about this opera that I think people really need to know is that it's one of Handel's English operas. It's sung in English, which is unusual because Handel was a German composer who lived in England but really was interested in Italian opera. Italian opera was like the big thing of the day, but it sort of went out of favor in London, kind of like today where people want to hear singers sing in their own language. The same thing happened in Handel's time. So he wrote this opera. It's kind of short-ish. It's only a couple of hours with an intermission, so it's not one of his longer operas.
But is it a good opera then, maybe if you've not experienced the opera, to go to?
I think it's maybe one of the best ones.
Right.
Because
absolutely,
it is short. It's in a language that people can understand. And it's beautiful.
Yes.
You know, it's so pleasing to the ear. And it's this kind of music that is very easy for the ear to latch onto. And there's like this, what is it called? The earworm quality, where you can like go out humming some things because things repeat over and over.
Interesting.
So then you like walk out of the building and you're like happy.
You know the story,
happy.
You know the songs. Exactly. you're totally in. That's exactly right.
Okay. So another unique part of this though is Robert, in your new position with Boise Baroque Orchestra.
Yes.
So first, we've had Boise Baroque Orchestra in before, but tell folks what it is if they're not familiar.
So Boise Baroque Orchestra is a chamber orchestra. That means that it's only made up of about 25 or so musicians. We perform in churches, and we perform music mostly written before the year 1800. why 1800, you might ask?
Baroque period?
That's right. So before 1800,
I know a little bit of my history.
Yeah, I mean,
and Beauty and the Beast. I mean, they talk about it in that too. So,
you know, it's funny. Around 1800, there was a big shift in how musicians and composers thought about music. And after 1800, it was all about big halls and making big sounds. Before 1800, there was a whole different mindset. It was about elegance. It was about clarity. It was about the affect. It was about, you know, communicating the idea. And so we do that through Boise Baroque by, one, performing in churches, mostly the way that it was intended to be performed. Also, some of our equipment is Baroque equipment. So, for instance, the bow that you use to draw across the string that you might see in the Boise Phil is not the same kind of bow that we use in the Boise Baroque. We use a lighter bow that has a little bit less pressure on it. And so the sound is created in a slightly different way, which gives a different ring and air to the sound. And so to the beginning listener of this music, it may sound sort of stylized, but it is stylized. But once you jump into the style, it's kind of almost like hearing a Shakespeare play. I always think when I go to Shakespeare, the first half hour, I'm getting into
this. You're trying to get into the language and understanding it.
30 minutes in, you're like, oh, I get it. Like, I'm in love, hate, vengeance, jealousy, whatever.
Yeah, I got it, yeah.
It's the same exact thing with Baroque music. And so it's got that stylized kind of feel. And so when Mark and I came up with this idea of collaborating and presenting this Handel opera, it was a really great opportunity to showcase, first of all, an opera, a type of opera that is not done here in Boise very often at all. And in fact, Handel never. And also to be able to bring to life the Boise Baroque Orchestra in a performance of an opera. So there are a couple of things that people will want to see when they come. First of all, the Baroque bows are really cool. Secondly, the orchestra is going to be on stage, not in the pit. So you're going to see the musicians. And thirdly, we have an instrument called the theorbo that's joining us. And this was a Baroque instrument that was used mainly in opera. And it's basically like a lute, like a guitar, but it has a 6-foot-long neck. And it has double set of strings. And it was designed as what we call continuo, which is sort of the bass line that kind of keeps everything together. And so that will be in the orchestra as well, which is super cool.
What's it like for you as a performer to have the orchestra on stage instead of in the pit?
I mean, I love it because I think it gives me the opportunity to connect with them in a way that you don't get to when they're far away from you or when they're below you. You get this idea that it's more chamber music rather than just soloists on stage and orchestra in the pit, right?
Right.
So that's a much more gratifying musical experience for us and probably for the audience too, because there's more of a connection from everybody on stage that way.
So you're in rehearsals right now.
Yes.
When will the performances be and where?
So the performances are both at the Egyptian Theater downtown, Friday night, November 8th at 7:30, and Sunday afternoon, November 10th at 2:30 in the afternoon.
And is this a good performance to take kids to? I'm in that, you know, mode of raising kiddos,
trying to
broaden their artistic horizons.
You know, I would say not terribly young, but like, you know, in that tween sort of age, it's a great introduction. And here's the other thing about the opera. The sort of scarier stuff happens in the second act. So if you say, I'll just come here the first act, Into the Woods is kind of like that too, right?
You go to
the first act, everything's happy and cheery.
And
that's Aces of Galatea.
Yeah.
So if you want a happy, cheery experience, come to the first half with your kids and then stay for the second half.
I love that. Kids, it's only this amount of time. Don't worry. No. Just, you know, we're leaving. They're just all staying around to meet the cast.
I mean, it's a monster that comes out in the second half, and he's really an awesome monster, Polyphemus, despite the fact that he does some nasty things.
Well, you know, it's part of the play.
That's right.
I want to thank both of you so very much for coming
today.
Yeah. We have been speaking with Opera Idaho guest artist, tenor Kareem Suleiman, and conductor of Boise Baroque Orchestra, Robert Franz. Thank you both so much.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
And I want to thank all of you for joining us. And you know what? We would love to hear from you. Are there stories that you want us to look into? Maybe interviews that you haven't heard yet? Go to Boise State Public Radio and go find us on email at idahomatters@boisestate.edu. Drop us a line. We'd love to hear from you. My producers, Frankie Barnhill, Samantha Wright, a huge thank you to Andrew Fisher for production help this week while Sam's on vacation. It's Tuesday. It snowed a little bit already today. Enjoy it if you can. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you back here tomorrow.